the Word of God in the Scriptures of the Old Testament in the book of Ruth, the first chapter, reading from the first verse. The story of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, Samson, Deborah, Barak, before there was a monarchy in Israel, there were judges. And in those days, when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land being Palestine. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah, in the south, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. That's to say, he crossed the Jordan and went to live on the eastern side of the river Jordan. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites. Ephratah was the ancient name of Bethlehem. It was called Ephratah before it was called Bethlehem. And so these boys were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab on the eastern side, and they remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. And then she started with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find a home, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, 'I have hope,' even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if even death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She had changed so much. "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has afflicted me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Amen. May God add a blessing to his own holy word. As we gather round the Lord's table this morning, I want to think with you about the story of Ruth, and especially from chapter 1 and verse 6. These words: "She had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread." Naomi had heard that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. A word, first of all, about the book of Ruth. It is a simple book. The story of country people, and especially the story of the love of a rich farmer and landowner, Boaz, for an immigrant girl called Ruth. But the story is rich in its simplicity. This is a deep story, and if we think it is only a children's tale suitable for kids in the Sunday school, then we certainly miss the message of Ruth. The simplicity of Ruth is deceptive, because there are layers and layers and layers of truth in this simple story. I want you to see, first of all, where the book of Ruth stands. It stands in the Bible between two books filled with violence and war. On the one side, you've got the book of Judges. Samson, Gideon, Deborah, Barak, the Judges. The endless wars with the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Moabites and the Ammonites, and so on. And amongst all of that turmoil, brother against brother, family against family, clan against clan, treachery, murder, rape, pillage. That's the book of Judges. On the other side, you have the first and second books of Samuel. And they too are full of violence and war. 1 Samuel starts with the story of Eli and his decadent ministry and his worldly shrine, a rotten church. Then come the attacks from the Philistines. again and again. Then you have the rise of Saul, poor, demented, demon-possessed Saul. Then comes David and the Edomite wars. Then comes the affair with Bathsheba. And through all the books, 1 and 2 Samuel, you get David's troubles with his own family, because he had domestic problems too. Two of his boys grew up to be teddy boys. They were thugs. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and Absalom. And these two boys broke their father's heart. And right in the middle of all that violence, there is the story of Ruth. As they say at the start of The Archers, an everyday story about country folk. The barley harvest, and this strange immigrant girl coming from Moab to live in the village, and well, 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 the local farmers looking for a wife. And then you have the wonderful love affair, but the simplicity is deceptive. You see, there are various ways you can take this story. You can take it as one of the great love stories of the Bible. The pagan girl coming from Moab and giving up her idols. A sinful woman turning to God, joining God's people. Entreat me not to leave you, nor to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. You can take it on that level. It's possible to go underneath the story and find the love of Christ for his church. And in fact, that's how many Christians understand the story of Ruth. Boaz is a kind of Christ figure. A great-hearted, kindly, generous man seeking a bride. And Ruth is a kind of sinner figure, coming from the lostness of Moab and seeking God and determined to be joined to the living God and his people. And so the whole story of Ruth, under the surface, is a parable of the love of Jesus Christ for the outsiders and for the sinners, the people who come in from the darkness. The love of Jesus Christ for his church. But it's possible to go under that surface and find another message in Ruth. And I believe that this is the truest message of the story of Ruth. It's an illustration of how the grace of God can transform tragedy and grief and turn them into triumph. Now, these are the polar extremities of the book of Ruth. Tragedy and triumph. Let's start with the tragedy, because that's where the story starts, in all the tragic heartbreak of a home drifting from God. The story is simple enough. A husband and wife, Elimelech and Naomi, natives of Bethlehem, husband and wife who were part of God's heritage, moved across the Jordan in a time of famine, and they settled down in Moab. Their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went with them. In time the two boys grew up and married women of Moab, Ruth and Naomi. Then Elimelech dies, and the two boys die, and Naomi is left alone with her two daughters-in-law, an Israelitess, in a strange land. Let's start with a tragedy. Let's start with the bad news before the good news. First of all, here is a man who is living a lie. His name is Elimelech, and it means, God is my king. And that was the one thing God was not. God was not Elimelech's king, because Elimelech was running his own life. You know how in that world a man's name was a description of his character. Elimelech, therefore, was a living lie, because his life denied his name. Don't you think the churches are sometimes all too full of people like Elimelech? They profess one thing, but their lives deny what they profess. Have you heard the story of the church member who was trying to get one of his heathen fellow workers to come along to church? But the heathen remained unmoved. And one day the churchman said, "Well, why don't you come? Is the church so awful that you don't come? Is it all so tedious and unendurable that you won't come?" And the heathen said, "I don't come for the simple reason that what you are talks so loudly that I cannot hear Christ's message." Elimelech was living a lie. Secondly, there was the tragedy and the bitterness of a husband and wife who were in a backslidden state, drifting away from living contact with God. I ask you, why did they leave the land in a time of famine? The promises of God were for his people in the land. The land was the place of blessing. The glory of God came down in the land. Israel was blessed in the land. Abraham leaves the land and ends in Egypt. It was a disaster. Jacob leaves the land. It was a disaster. Judah leaves the land. It was a disaster. The blessings of God came down on his children in the land. Why then did this husband and wife leave the land? Because of the famine. We are told it is better to suffer affliction with the people of God. It is better to choose suffering. It was God's famine. It was God's affliction. It was God's suffering. They should have stayed in the land and taken their stand with God in all the difficulties and the troubles. Thirdly, there was the tragedy of their new home, Moab. Moab was a land of idols. Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, is what the Bible calls their god. The Moabites were the descendants of Lot. They came from that appalling interlude in the cave, Lot and his daughters, after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. They thought the entire world had been destroyed. They thought they were the only people left. And so they decided to start up mankind again. And the fruits were Moab and Ammon. And they became the scourges of God's people for centuries. And yet here you have a husband and wife, children of God, settling down in Moab. And lastly, the fourth factor in this tragedy, the birds of judgment came home to roost. We are told in the New Testament that whatever a man sows, he reaps. The boys grew up and they married pagan wives. And that is absolutely prohibited in the Old Testament. And it's absolutely prohibited in the New Testament. Children of God must marry children of God. Light must marry light. Christians must marry Christians. It is utterly forbidden in the Bible for a believer to enter into a marriage agreement with an unbeliever. And yet here these boys married women of Moab. Are there any bells ringing here this morning? I mean, does any of this ring a bell inside your head? A man who was living a lie, a husband and wife who were in a backslidden condition, children of God who had settled down in Moab, and believers who had married unbelievers. Are there any such here this morning? The prodigal son went to live in a far country, far away from God, far away from his father, far away from home, from love, and from true care. Elimelech and Naomi went to live in a far country. That's what makes them prodigals. Are there any here this morning, drifting from God, drifting from Christ, not what you used to be spiritually, losing the edge, compromising, refusing hardship, refusing the cross? Hear the voice of God. Elimelech died. Mahlon died. Chilion died. And Naomi came home to Bethlehem with a broken heart. "Don't call me Naomi," she said. "Call me Mara. Bitter. For the hand of God has gone out against me." Isaiah says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." That's the message of Ruth chapter 1. I wonder if you know the hymn in our hymnary which starts, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy now abounding, call for songs of loudest praise. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God." And then you find these lines: "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That hymn was written by a man called Robert Robinson. He was an able, outstanding Christian at the end of the 18th century. But after he had written that hymn, like Elimelech and Naomi, he went to the far country and became a prodigal. One day he was traveling in a stagecoach. His only companion in the coach was a woman, and she started to talk to him, not knowing who he was, about this hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and what a lot of blessing she had got from the words. And Robinson was very embarrassed and tried to change the conversation. But she went on and on and on and on about this wonderful hymn. And then Robertson exclaimed, Madam, I must beseech you, stop speaking about that hymn. I am the man who wrote it. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them, to enjoy now the feelings I had then. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It's often said that the darkest hour comes just before the dawn. And it was into that tragedy and into that heartbreak and grief and disappointment that God came with a message of triumph. Naomi heard that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. And as far as Naomi was concerned, the famine was over, and the bad times were over, and she was now on her way home. You see, the God of the Bible is a God who turns tragedy into triumph. The triumph of God in Naomi was that she repented. She forgot her past. She put Moab behind her. And she came home to God. To the God who gives men bread. To the village of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. Back to God's people. And I'm sure it's not coincidental that over 1,000 years after this took place, that same God who brought Naomi home to Bethlehem sent another kind of bread into the world, for it was at Bethlehem, the house of bread, that Jesus was born. And he said, I am the bread of life, the living bread, not yesterday's bread, not yesterday's religion, not yesterday's grace. Grace now, bread for you now. I am the living bread. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. People are hungry today. Men and women are thirsty today. Well, at least the thinking ones are. Those who don't think and who are stupefied by all the popcorn of television culture They're not hungry. They're not thirsty. But thinking men and women today are hungry. They're bored with pleasure. They're bored with drink. They're bored with sex. They're bored with permissiveness. They're bored with secularity. They are hungry and thirsty for a spiritual dimension to life. And the good news of the gospel is that that spiritual dimension is a man. God's bread for you is a man. And if you taste him, you will never hunger again. There are only three people in this story. There are only three people in church this morning. The first is Orpah. She was a sentimentalist. She kissed her mother-in-law, but she went back to her old gods. If Orpah were alive today, she would like religion and churches and hymns and meetings, but she would still go back to her old gods. The other person is Naomi. She was a believer who had become a backslider and who now was coming home. And the third person was Ruth. And she was a sinner who became a woman of faith. Anyone here with the middle name of Orpah? Someone who kisses but goes back. Anyone here with the middle name of Naomi? A believer who's been drifting but is coming home. Anyone here with the middle name of Ruth? A sinner from the darkness who clung. Orpah kissed, but Ruth clung. And of course, you know the end of the story. She married Boaz. They had a son called Salmon. He had a son called Jesse. Jesse had a son called David. And in the fullness of time, David had a son called Jesus Christ. And so Ruth became an ancestress of Jesus. The promises of God are for faith. The blessings of God are for faith. Faith in the God who sets his sovereign hand on tragedy and turns it to triumph. Faith in the God who visits his people by giving them bread. And it is in that spirit that we come now to the Lord's table. And we sing for our communion hymn, number 421.